Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Everybody to the Prophecy Zone. Thank you again for listening. My name is Christine Weick. I'm filling in for Phil Armstrong for the next 30 minutes, and I thank him for giving me the opportunity to do so. We've been going through the book of Revelation here, verse by verse, and we're up to the seven trumpets. The last couple of times we've been together, we're almost to the end now of the trumpets. And I'll quickly go over the first few of them, and then we'll bring into light here the implication of the little scroll and why this is placed before the seventh trumpet. Everything in Revelation is done for a reason, and I believe the little scroll is just perfectly placed for where it is at for one reason, and I will explain that. We'll kind of just do a quick breakdown here of the seven trumpets. I feel that we can explain Revelation in a more literal way, something that makes easy to understand, common sense type of approach. I always say, let's explain it the way God wrote it. All right, we'll start with the first trumpet. That was the one where the angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. And a third of the earth is burned up by this, and I believe this is a volcanic eruption. This is John seeing something he's never seen in his lifetime before. And if you've ever seen a volcano eruption, watch it on video. It does look like very red blood and fire, very easily understood as to how this burns up the earth at the same time. I believe this affects North and South America, predominantly with the Ring of Fire. Just imagine that whole coastline of the U.S., the western coastline, and I believe that's where you guys are at. This is what causes the destruction of the third of the earth being burned up. Okay, second trumpet was something like a huge mountain that was thrown into the sea. I believe this is the top of the mountain. Easily explained, just volcano erupts and very violently takes most of the mountain, throws it off into the atmosphere, and it comes down into the ocean. Very easily a possibility. A third of the sea turns to blood by this. A third of the ships are destroyed. Well, if you throw that large of an item into a area or a body of water, it is going to create a very large wake with tsunamis, and the ships are obviously affected by this. How does the sea turn a third blood? Red tides. Something that does occur naturally. It's a phenomenon that does kill fish, and it's also very harmful to humans that live along the coastline. Third angel, there's a great star blazing like a torch that falls from the sky on a third of the rivers, and the star is called Wormwood. This is considered what I feel is a star. This is something that is able to open something. So the rock actually is an angel of sorts. And we see later that this is the devil being thrown upon the earth. It just appears to us as a meteor or an asteroid. How does a third of the world, a third of the waters turn bitter? If you ever read into the atmospheric changes that occur when a meteor passes through the Earth's atmosphere, that is something called acid rain. It does develop and could very well explain how this acidic water then is turned to a third part of the Earth. Let's see here. Fourth angel, the third of the sun is struck, third of the moon turns dark. That's very explainable also with the volume of plumes of ash coming from that volcano or volcanoes, as well as the forest fires that follow that. Of course, very simply, the earth just gets darkened with that. I can't say the sun is affected directly. What it is the sun is blocked by this plumes of smoke and ash. Fifth angel, this is the star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, is opened up the abyss. This is where I see that this star is Satan. And these are also starts, the fifth angel starts the first woe also. The last three woes are the last three trumpets. And this is a woe where now the demonic appearance appears. And this is where I feel that the locusts that come out of the abyss are actually demons. And they are described by the way they look. Now, something that I did not elaborate well, because I didn't have the verse in front of me, is at the end of Revelation 9, verse 4, it says, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree. In other words, creation is not affected by these locusts slash demons. But only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, this is where I thought was different from the sealing of the 144,000. And now I have the verse here. When we become believers, we are automatically sealed. And this is something that could also be done at our conception. God already knows if we are sealed or not. That answer is given to us in Ephesians 1, verse 13. I'm going to quote it here. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, in other words, first the belief, having to believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. There we got, right there, is the seal of God that is given to us when we are believers, when we come saved through Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is the seal that is protecting us from these demonic locusts that appear to sting people for a period of 5 months. I believe that this is also something that God gives believers, so we know who is an unbeliever by the torment that they go through. And I believe also that this affliction will be something exactly the length of the 5 months. Let's see here. Then we went to the first woe was passed, and then we had the second woe with the sixth angel. And this is where the voice came from the golden altar, and that brings around the 200 million troops from China or from the east. It says from the east here. And this, I explained, was probably from China. Very possible that 200 million is the definite number. We stopped at that point, so let's pick up from here. Revelation 9, verse 17. The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. Keep in mind the colors of the Chinese during the Olympics. Definitely very bright yellow and a very red. Where the blue comes from, that I don't know. Maybe that's something that will be seen later as to how the blue ties in. Maybe color of European Union, I'm not sure. But we do know China's colors are red and yellow. Now, the heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. John is, again, describing something. It could very well be here a machine. I'm not sure. The horses and the riders here do not seem to be demonic. I believe these are actually the troops. It is describing here that 200 million army as it comes across towards Israel. Now, a third of the mankind is killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of the mouths. Possibly that this is a new chemical weapon machine. The sulfur kind of brings an idea there that this is a gas that comes out and is able to destroy men with a chemical weapon. Now, notice the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like a snake, having heads which they inflicted injury. I don't know, hoses maybe? I'm really stretching it here, because John is trying to describe something he is seeing into the future and just has no clue at all how to describe this. Machines were not around at John's time when he lived, so anything that resembled modern machinery for us today was just totally foreign to him. So I really don't know. I'm just kind of saying that this is a chemical war machine, and to be able to kill a third of mankind, that is, like I said, tremendous genocide, you would say, as it moves forward towards Israel, and I believe that kind of is that movement towards Armageddon, and the Lord kind of wipes out a third of mankind just by this group. Revelation 9, verse 20. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, worshiping demons, the idols of gold and silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see, hear, or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Now, here is proof that God's patience is even to the last minute. If only these people would repent. But instead they engage in murder. I believe that is called persecution. Maybe obviously the murder of each other, but more or less it's the murder of the believers. Sexual immorality, well, that's a given. The thievery, believe that is the looting. Those are taking from those who have and giving it to those who have not. It is also mentioned that the people are worshiping demons, and I believe this is a strong engagement in witchcraft. Again, something that the Antichrist would definitely promote. Now, the idols of the gold, silver, and wood would show that the Antichrist probably encouraged statues of himself at this point and placed in every home and probably every business. This is part of the worship of him. I guess we could just wrap it all up and say humanity is at its worst here. Now we would have, you would say, the seventh trumpet. After the sixth would come the seventh. However, notice the Bible does not introduce the seventh trumpet right away. Instead, it goes off on another completely different path. It actually does not come to the seventh trumpet until two chapters later. And I believe this is what makes Revelation so confusing. But this diversion is for a reason. And I believe it is to allow for the explanation of the rapture. And I believe the rapture occurs at the sound of the seventh trumpet. So this is where the rapture obviously occurs then after the sixth trumpet. Let's take God's word literally here. At the sound of the last trumpet shall the dead in Christ arise, and we are gathered together to meet him in the air. So the first six trumpets are now finished. And just before the seventh one, here we go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Listen. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For this trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. This is the rapture. It does not occur until the seventh trumpet. And I believe that this change up of sequence in trumpets backs this up. Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who were seated on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead, the rewarding of your servants, the prophets, and your saints, those who reverence your name, both small and great, and destroying those who destroy the earth." And I believe here, this is the seventh trumpet that sums it up well. The end is here on earth for the believer, and the wrath of God is now coming with the bowls of wrath, the seven bowls of wrath. But in between this comes the angel and the little scroll. And this is what I find interesting as to why it is placed here. That starts in Revelation 10, verse 1. "Then I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head, and his face was like that of the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars, and he was holding a little scroll, which laid open," keep that in mind, "it lays open in his right hand. He planted his foot on the sea and his left on the land, and he gave a loud shout like a roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard from heaven a voice say, 'Seal it up, for what the seven thunders have said, do not write it down.'" This angel that is described here in this Revelation chapter 10 is one of great importance. Not told his name, but in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, we have a clue. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel." So I believe that this angel that is described clothed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head, his face is like the sun, this is an archangel, obviously of utmost importance. And the trumpet call of God and the dead of Christ will rise first. So this must be an archangel who has this great authority or power. And he's placing a foot on the water, on the land. This could indicate that he has power over the entire earth. It is also to show, possibly, that he has the authority over the Gentiles, which is the sea, and the Jews, which is the land. He seems to also have a power in heaven, shown by the response of seven thunders when he shouts. And this response is not explained to us. In fact, it is intentionally removed from our knowing of it. John is told to not write it down. He hears something and he is able to comprehend it, but we are not told it. Now, the scroll can be a little more challenging to explain. It is definitely different from the large scroll, but yet similar. Notice that the large scroll, when we first looked at that in the beginning of Revelation, is got seven seals on it. And notice that this one only has one. It has a seal, but it's opened. Now here, I believe, is the difference. The scroll that the angel is holding here is John's soul. This is a conversation between John and the angel. It is small because it represents his person and his person only. The scroll in verse 2 states that it's already opened. Now, this is an indication that a price has been paid in order for the seal to have been broken. I believe this price was Jesus' death on the cross. I'll explain this later. Verse 5, "Then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel," notice, here we go, seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery, remember the mystery back from that verse in Corinthians I mentioned? The mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Now, this act of swearing an oath is not no small ordeal. It is of very much importance. And all of creation is mentioned, both of heaven and on earth. Now, the mystery here is the rapture, and an event so important in the lives of those who have died, but also in the lives of those who are waiting on the earth for the return of their Lord. And this is the reason for the word delay, or anticipation of the event that is being awaited by so many. It is possible that the rapture, or the return of Christ for the believers, will be the message of the two witnesses, his servants, the prophets. We will read about them in Revelation verse 11. Now, this also could have been the work of the apostles as well. Now we have the seventh trumpet about to be blown. And like I said, remember 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And this is where I find myself believing that the placement of the account of the little scroll between the sixth and the seventh trumpets is proof that the rapture occurs only at this point. Read Revelation verse 10, starting with verse 8. Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and the land, the archangel, obviously. So I went to the angel. Notice the communication here between the angel and John. This is a personal thing. So John goes to the angel and asks him to give him the little scroll. Continuing on, he said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. And I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. Notice the permission here to take it. John's not given three or four of these little scrolls. He's only given one. He took it and he eats it. It tasted sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Notice one before the other. First in the mouth and then in the stomach. Then I was told, you must go prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Okay, the scroll is given back to John. Okay, it's been opened. Something has been paid. So John is able now to receive the scroll back. It's his own personal life. I believe it is his own personal salvation. Christ has died on the cross, paid a price. So the seal is broken, and it's given back to John. So, as John accepts Christ as his personal Savior, he now becomes a believer. The timing here is crucial. As John eats the scroll, it is sweet to the mouth, but it creates an upset stomach. Now, understand this. The sixth trumpet has already passed during the Great Tribulation. The believer is now ready to be raptured as the seventh trumpet is blown. Things on the earth are about to get worse, a lot worse, because the wrath of God in the form of the seven bowls are about ready to be poured upon the earth. However, the believer will be gone from the earth before that happens. Wow, how sweet is that? I mean, that's something the believer has looked forward to throughout not only his whole life from the time he became saved up to this point, but considering the persecution that has gone on during this time period, because I do believe the rapture occurs later on in the tribulation period, there is a tremendous amount of persecution that has evolved, not only by the hands of other unbelievers, but also by the hand of the Antichrist. So the believer is gone, is rescued, has been taken out of that situation. That is sweet to understand. That is great. But what now for the ones you leave behind? You have that neighbor that you have talked so much about Christ, about his coming, all of the things that are happening that you've proven to him in the Bible that it's true, and he's just on the edge. He has not taken the mark. He's struggling with it, and then you're leaving him behind. Your family, your kids, you know, if they have accepted Christ as their Savior and you're guaranteed they're going with you, that's great. But, you know, there's going to be many, many left behind. And I believe, and you know this, the majority of the world gets left behind. Most people will follow the Antichrist. There are Christians out there who will get caught like a thief in the night. They are not aware of what's going on. And they are, at this point, maybe very confused as to why certain Christians are not taking the mark, and should they or shouldn't they? And they've been deceived. The Antichrist is telling them other things. They're being withheld from food and water. They can't buy or sell, and they're struggling. And they're just on the edge of making a decision. And then that person who would be their prophet or that person who would help them with their decision as to stay strong in their faith, now that person is gone. What a feeling in the pit of your stomach. Can you now understand how it's sweet to the thought and it's sweet to the mouth, but it leaves a gnawing and a bitter feeling for those who are left behind? And I believe that's the idea of the little scroll. This is something I have thrown at believers who have sat with me during Bible studies, and I've thrown a question at them. What would you do? If Christ came upon you in your room within the next 15 seconds and he had a decision for you, you're guaranteed your rapture, not a problem, you're guaranteed your salvation, but you have a choice that you could go with him right now to heaven at that specific moment, or tribulation period starts tomorrow morning, and you will be going through it. You are guaranteed your rapture when it occurs, but you have an option to leave right now, or you can stay and work with your family, work with that neighbor to convince others of what's coming, to witness more. Oh, what would you do? And it's amazing, when I was doing my studies, how about half, and I wouldn't give them much time because this is a split-second decision. How sweet it is if we would be gone with our Lord in the next 15 seconds. You know, hey, Lord, yep, I'm with you. But then you think a moment, and you think, oh, man, I got my kids. You know, my teenagers are just not right for the Lord yet. A couple more years, a little bit more time with a little bit more time with my neighbor next door, and I'll be able to convince her, especially if signs of the times come and I can prove to her that the Bible is correct. I could bring her to the saving knowledge of the Lord, and she would also be raptured. Now you make your decision. Are you going to go, or are you going to stay? And that is probably the question of the day. My name is Christine Wyke. I wish... And I would love it if you would get a hold of me. Let me know what you think. I always could use some of your comments. You can reach me at 888-653-9752 or email me explainthis@att.net. My Facebook name is Christine Wyke, and it's W-E-I-C-K, Christine. And then Wyke is my last name. I believe that's facebook.com/Christine Wyke. Otherwise, like I said, please contact me. I hope to hear from you soon. And thank you again, Phil, for letting me fill in. And next week, we'll move on forward through the book of Revelation, and hope that you will join us then. Thank you.